If you'll please open your Bibles with me to 1 Peter. The scripture morning this morning will be from 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter, verses 20 and 21. Once again, it'll be 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter, verses 20 and 21. We'll be reading from the King James Version this morning. Which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a-preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. The like figure, whereinto even baptism does also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Glad to see everyone here with us this morning. You know, one of the great things that we can learn and see, and as we go back and read the Old Testament, we're able to see some types and figures and shadows of things to come, of things that would be as we read the New Testament. James just read for us this morning, 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, that takes us back to the ark. And Noah's ark is one of the most told stories or accounts of the Bible. It's one with which we're all familiar. And this is not, friends, a mere children's bedtime story. As I mentioned just a moment ago, we can go back and we can go to Genesis chapter 6, 7, and 8, and we can read of the ark and of the flood. In Romans 15 and verse 4, we read, whatsoever things are written aforetime are written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. And so, there's some use in going back and looking at this account. And that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to notice the seven ones, if you will, the seven ones of Noah's Ark and the Lord's Church. Now, there are many lessons that we can learn from this fascinating account. We'll notice just seven of them this morning. Number one, as we look at the Ark and we go back and we look and see what took place there, we see that God approved only one ark. So number one this morning, God approved only one ark. Let's go to Genesis chapter 6. And let's begin to look at this account of the worldwide flood. I want you to notice specifically verse 14. Genesis 6, verse 14. God speaking to Noah says, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. Notice that Noah was to build an ark. Singular or plural there? Singular. He was to build an ark. Noah did not think to build several arks. He did not build for himself and for those round about him a fleet of arks. He built one. That was all he was told to build. Noah focused all of his attention on the one that God required. Notice Genesis 6 and verse 22. Notice how faithful Noah was in this. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Just one ark. That's all God authorized. That's all Noah built. That's all he concentrated upon building. Friends, how does that relate to us? How does that relate to the church today? Just as God had authorized, just as God approved only one ark, friends, Jesus built only one church. His church. Matthew 16 and verse 18, he said, upon this rock I will build my church. Possessive and singular. It belongs to him. He is the one head of his church, Colossians 1 and verse 18. He has only one body, Ephesians 4 and verse 4. And friends, the one body and the one church are one and the same. Same thing. Now, when comparing the one ark and the one church, friends, we see no division. There's one head, one body, only one approved. Number two, as we look at the ark and the church, God approved only one plan. He approved only one plan. Noah was given one blueprint for the ark. Genesis 6, beginning of verse 14. We see there, we've already read 14, he was to make it of gopher wood. He was to pitch it within and without with pitch. Notice this, verse 15. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and it shall in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. One plan. Noah did not have several different ones to choose from. He was given one blueprint for the ark. Noah was not given the liberty to fashion the ark to his own standard. Friends, we need to learn a lesson from that. God's standards, God's ways, are not our ways. And so we see there God approving only one plan, God's design. God's design was perfect for the ark to save Noah and his family. And friends, there have been countless ships, countless ocean liners that have been built since then to this scale. They recognized God's perfect plan. It didn't matter how stormy the seas got or how bad things got, how much wind came upon the earth at that time, the ark wasn't going to blow over. God designed it that way. He designed it in such a way that it was perfect. It was there to save Noah and his family. And friends, God wants his pattern to be followed, not improved. You know, Noah didn't go and he didn't say, you know, gopher wood isn't just real good wood. I think I'll use oak. He didn't do that. He realized that when God said gopher wood, that God had a specific purpose in mind, and so he built it with gopher wood. He wants his pattern, God does, to be followed and not improved. And we see that throughout the Bible. Cain tried to do things his own way. Look where that got him. We see it with Nadab and Abihu. Trying to do things in their own way. Didn't work out very well for them either. Friends, God wants his pattern to be followed. And friends, God's emphasis on pattern and design is seen in his one church as well. Jesus said the kingdom would come with power. Mark 9 and verse 1. The apostles were given the keys to open the kingdom. Matthew 16 and verse 19. Shortly thereafter, Peter's great confession, Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And speaking to Peter and the other apostles, that he was going to give unto them the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever they would bind on earth would be bound in heaven. Whatsoever they loosed on earth would be loosed in heaven. They were given the keys. And friends, when we look at that emphasis on pattern and design, we see the worship is directed by God's pattern. His alone. John 4 and verse 24, Jesus speaking to the Samaritan woman there, we see that they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That's his design. And God adds those who follow the pattern to his one church. Acts 2 verse 47, Romans 1 16, as well as chapter 6 and verse 17. Now friends, consider the blueprint that you're following right now. Are you following the blueprint that God designed? Or are you following some blueprint that some man has designed? Friends, if it's not God's blueprint, it's not the right one. Number three. God provided one source of life. The ark was to have, notice as we read through the design that God gave, that there was to be one window, verse 16, a window shalt thou make to the ark. One window, and that window would supply the light then for the ark. Friends, think about this. How bleak would life be without any light whatsoever? We know from scientific studies that there are great benefits of sunlight for human health. Dr. William B. Grant writes, the health benefits of UVB through production of vitamin D are considerable, with more benefits being recognized at a rapid pace. My work indicates that over 20,000 Americans die prematurely annually from insufficient UVB or vitamin D. I also estimate that half of those with multiple sclerosis in the U.S. would not have MS if they had as much UVB exposure as those living in the southern states. Great benefit to sunlight. One window was upon the ark to provide that light. And friends, the gospel of Christ, as we read the New Testament, is the light, is God's light for His church. Psalm 119:105. John 1:4-9, we read there that Jesus Christ was a light in darkness. He's a light then unto the world. Friends, heaven will be illuminated by the Lamb, according to Revelation 21:23. And this is how we are to light the world, Matthew 5:14-16. Jesus speaking to His disciples, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but set it on a candlestick, so that it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine them before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Friends, we are to take the gospel light unto all those around us. And without that gospel light, friends, notice, remember, and think about, without that gospel light, that all would remain in darkness. What happens to the candle if it's lit and then put under a bushel? What good does it do for anyone? Not a bit. Rather than having light, there's nothing but darkness. We read in John, 1 John 1 and verse 7, that we are to walk in the light as He is in the light. So friends, are you walking in the one light today? Then number four. Notice that God saved only one family. God saved only one family. Let's go back to 1 Peter chapter 3. And notice again verse 20. "Which sometime were disobedient, when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water." Now, these eight souls include Noah and his wife, his three sons, makes five, and their wives, add another three, that makes eight. One family was saved. Now, Noah had warned the people 120 years, Genesis 6 and verse 3. He had been preaching for 120 years. And no doubt these people thought Noah was crazy. They had never heard of rain, never seen a drop of rain. Noah has lost his mind. But he had been warning the people for 120 years, and Noah succeeded, but he only saved his family. 120 years. He preached God's warning and saved his family. God's grace and His justice here are often overlooked. But friends, as we look at that, as we look at the ark, and we see that God saved only one family, friends, remember that the Lord's church is made up of one family. Just one. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15, Paul refers to the church as the house of God. Literally, their household. Those that belong to the house. Christians are no longer strangers. As we read in Ephesians 3 and verse 19, Christians are no longer strangers, that is, outside the household of God. But rather, if they're no longer strangers, then they are family. They are welcome. They are inside the household of God. In reference to the Lord's church, in reference to Christians, the word family is used 123 times in the Bible. 123. And so, friends, we see there that the Lord's church is made up of just one family. Christians are referred to as the children of God. They're referred to as heirs of the kingdom, Romans 8, 16 and 17. And friends, remember that only an heir may receive an inheritance. Therefore, friends, only one family, just one, will receive the Father's inheritance. Friends, Jesus is coming again to receive His own. And so we must ask ourselves the question, are we part of His one family? He just has one. Number five, we see upon the ark that God supplied the one source for their needs. Those that inhabited the ark were all that God had left. Genesis 6, 23 and 24. We look at Genesis 6 and we look at Genesis 7. This is all that the Lord has left. These eight souls. That's all that's left. They were given what they needed to sustain life. Look at verse 21. Thou shalt take, Genesis 6, 21, and take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. That's all there was. And God provided that for them. They did not have to take thought of what they needed. God gave them that. Friends, when we look at that comparison, we look at the church, Jesus has promised to meet the needs of His people. And as we just noticed that the church is His one family, we are His people, He's going to provide then for His church. He told His disciples, therefore take no thought. Remember this passage? Take no thought, He says, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? That's Matthew 6 and verse 31. We go on and we read in verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these things. What things? Go back to verse 31. Those things that when we get hungry, when we get thirsty, or our clothing, these things shall be added unto you. How? By seeking first the kingdom of God. He will provide. Friends, far greater than the physical life, we are supplied all spiritual blessings. Ephesians 1 and verse 3. Paul writes there to the Ephesian brethren that all spiritual blessings are found where? In Christ Jesus. All spiritual blessings are in Him. Therefore, if all spiritual blessings are in Him, how many are outside? Not a one. He provides us, friends, with what we need. Have we forgotten the one source of our blessings? Number six. God provided the one way. Noah was told to build the ark with only one door. Only one entrance. There was no other way to get into the ark. Now you can imagine. Noah's been preaching for 120 years. He's been telling the people it's going to rain. There's going to be a great flood. Noah, we've never heard of these things. How can we take you at your word? We have no idea what you're talking about. You've lost your mind. And then on that fateful day, Noah and his family enter in into the ark. All the animals have gone that way. They've entered in into the ark. And now the door's been shut. Now, as you read the account, friends, I want you to notice there that Noah didn't shut the door. God did. You think of the finality then of God shutting the door to that ark. And then in our minds, let's go over to the nearest village and think about that first drop of rain that's fallen from the sky. And the panic that has caused. And now everybody is gathering all their belongings and they're going just as fast as they can toward that ark and they reach it. Noah, open up. Not going to happen. Noah didn't shut the door. Noah can't open the door. There was only one entrance. Only one way to get into the ark. And friends, when that way was shut down, it was shut down. There was no way other than to go through that door to find safety. Noah and his family had to pass through that door to find safety. If those others wanted to be saved, they had to have gone through that door to find safety. Only one entrance. Now, as we look at the Lord's church was built with only one door, Jesus Christ. Jesus says that He is the door, John 10 and verse 9. And He provided only one way, just one, to enter the church. As we look at the religious world around about us today, we see numerous ways they teach to get into the Lord's body. Friends, the Bible teaches of only one. We must enter in through Jesus Christ. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He's the only way to get to the Father. And friends, we must do as He says. We must obey His Word. We talked about that in Bible class this morning. We must be obedient to His Word. And so our question this morning is, have you submitted yourself to His one way? Now, number 7. God warned of the one danger. God chose to save only those in the ark. The sin of the world was the cause of the flood, Genesis 6, 5 and 6. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that He had made man on the earth, and it grieved Him at His heart. The sin was so great upon the earth that man's thoughts, they were trying to think of new ways to do evil. God chose then, because of this sin, and because Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, to save only those who were on His boat. Genesis 7 and verse 16. God made the way. Only 8 followed. Friends, God has chosen to save only those in the one church. If He has chosen to save only those in His one church, where do I need to be? I need to be in His church. I need to be part of His family. Jesus made the comparison for Christians even today in Matthew 24:37-39. Christians, His church, Christians are not to be of this world. His church is not of this world. In answer to Pilate's question, Jesus told him that His kingdom was not of this world, else would His servants fight. His kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. But friends, just as was in the days of Noah, His love will be shown to those who serve Him. However, His vengeance will be poured out upon the disobedient. 2 Thessalonians 1:7-9. Are we heeding that warning that Jesus has given today? That one warning. God is long-suffering with man. There can be no doubt about that. 120 years Noah preached while the ark was being prepared. But as with Noah's generations, we see He has His limits to His patience. Where do we find ourselves today? Are we on the boat, so to speak? Let's put away our Bibles. Let's take out our song books. We're ready to sing the invitation song in just a moment. God has been very clear in His Word about salvation and His one way. Friends, are you here this morning willing to submit to the one true living God? Don't suffer the fate of those in the flood. Obey the gospel today. Let the Lord add you to His one body through obedience to His Word and being baptized, immersed in water for the forgiveness of sins. We read that this morning in 1 Peter 3, 20 and 21. Baptism doth also now save us. I don't see how God could be any more plain spoken than that. Friends, would you have your sins washed away this morning? Would you be added to His church? Are you here this morning having done that? Have you fallen away? Would you come home right now while we stand and while we sing?